after the Lord Jesus arose again from the dead, he told the disciples that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning him. Many of the Psalms, most expositors teach, are messianic. Psalms 2, 8, 16, 24, 40, 41, 45, 68, 69, 72, 89, 110, 118, 132, and others. However, did not Christ mean all the Psalms spoke of him? Psalm 88 speaks of the Messiah's thoughts both before and on the cross. Here the Messiah pours forth his heart. You will remember that the Lord Jesus is very God of very God and very man of very man. These two natures, the scriptures teach, were not merged into one nature. As man, he thirsted, grew in stature and in wisdom, was tempted, did not know when he, the Son of Man, would return the second time. He died. These things could not be said of God. By the time he was 12 years old, he understood from the scriptures the Father's purpose for him. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." What was that business? John 3, 16 and 17 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Furthermore, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." This was God's purpose for him. The Lord Jesus understood Psalm 22. Here in Psalm 88, the suffering Messiah, the one anointed to save his people, is presented to you. In his troubles, the Messiah prays. To whom else shall he turn? Verse 1. He cries, "O Lord God." In addressing God as his salvation, he shuts the door to despair. He knew that God had the answers and solutions to his troubles. He will not allow his trials and temptations to triumph over him. Instead, he strengthens himself to carry the cross. How many in their troubles turn from God, complain to him, even curse him? This godly man, the man Christ Jesus, this man of sorrows, will speak with his heart and trust in God. In Psalm 42, verses 9 through 11, he says, "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." What wonderful, instructive words are these. Yes, God is the God of his salvation, and yet it is as if God does not hear. He cries day and night and prays that God will hear him, verses 1 and 2. But no answer comes. In other Psalms, the sun breaks through the clouds at the end, but not here. Psalms 22 and 109 start out with a melancholy mood, but end up in a mood of triumph. Here there is no balm for a sad heart. There is no medicine for this mourner. All is gloom and misery. Try to put yourself in the shoes of the Savior. His family did not understand him. Can you imagine a brother who never sinned, who was perfect in all his conversation and life, one who was perfectly obedient to his parents? And yet they thought he was mad. He was too good. Something must be wrong. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Because of his goodness, he was hated. His people plotted to kill him, and eventually they did. To them, he was a traitor, a breaker of their made-up laws. So he prays. He prays often and passionately. He came to fulfill the law and to die in behalf of his people. The burden of his complaint comes next in this prayer, verses 3 through 8. He is sunk in the slough of despond, as Bunyan would say. My soul is full of troubles, full to the brim. It is as if he could withstand not one more drop. His life was at the door of Sheol or hell. This speaks of that dark hour when the Lord Jesus was in agony in Gethsemane, where we read in Mark 14:33-34, that he began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and said, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Speaking of his death, it was different from every other death, for he took upon his body the punishment of all sins of all his people. For the Father made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He suffered the wrath of God for us, his people, making atonement for our sins, to redeem us, that by faith in his shed blood we might have eternal life. Yes, his soul was full of troubles. In verses 3 through 7, he speaks of his afflictions. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Then he pauses. Selah. Oh, the loneliness of that hour. In verse 8 we read, Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, that I cannot come forth. He was abandoned. All his disciples forsook him and fled. Even his Father forsook him. How dreadful are those words of Christ on the cross. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His God was forsaking him, for he was bearing our sins. But still he returns to prayer. Verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. The affliction that came flooding into the heart of the Lord Jesus brought tears to his eyes. His daily prayers seemingly went unanswered. Truly, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This prayer brings forth a new plea, an appeal to God's regard for his own glory, verses 10 through 12. Wilt thou show wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Selah. shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? Here is an argument that the Father could not refuse. If Christ be not risen, man would be deprived of salvation and God of his glory. This cannot be. Shall God's mercy to the redeemed be declared in the grave? Hebrews 5, verses 6 through 9 says, as he saith in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Yes, he was heard. The Lord strengthened him. But his relief from suffering had not come as yet. What did the Lord do? He continues his lamentation, which reaches its summit in the last six verses, verses 13 through 18. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord. In the morning shall my prayer prevent me or precede me. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far off from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. But had not his plea been worthy of a positive answer? It would seem so. Many ask why. Notice the darkness still prevailed. It is the darkness just before dawn, and coldest also. He asks in verse 14, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? God does not always answer our prayers in the time and manner that we think he should. Knowing the scriptures from his youth, he knew why he had come into the world and what he was called upon to do. Yes, he was born to die for his people. What is the definition of love? It must start in the person of the Lord Jesus. He gave his life for his friends, for you, and for me. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Of old the Lord says to his people, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This psalm closes as it began, in darkness and gloom. Who could ever fathom what the Savior bore for you, his people? Even though this psalm ends in despair and shame, the Bible does not. In conclusion, let us, as Paul exhorts us in Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. What an exhortation this is for us when troubles come upon us. Yes, Christ was born to die for you, his people. May we be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry aptly exhorts, cast not away your confidence because God defers his performances. That which does not come in your time will be hastened in his time, which is always the more convenient season. God will work when he pleases, how he pleases, and by what means he pleases. He is not bound to keep our time, but he will perform his word, honor our faith, and reward us that diligently seek him. End quote. Remember what the importunate woman teaches us with regard to prayer, and let us rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. For those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37, 7 and 9. David relates that he waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto him. John 16, 33. The Lord Jesus exhorts us, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let us take this word to heart. When we are afflicted, when troubles arise, let us remember God hears his people, and he will answer in his time. Yes, when tribulations affect you, when a loved one passes, when your child is sick, when financial woes overwhelm you, when your granddaughter needs healing, when your son-in-law has cancer, when your grandson's eyes fail, when your heater breaks down, when you have had a heart attack, etc., cast all of your cares upon God, for he cares for you. Amen.